you know, he took me to the scripture study that begins with Matthew 6. And in Matthew 6, he took me into this study, and it was very interesting. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 6 now, let's just go there quickly, shall we? Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. It says from verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor let your body what you shall put on. Life is more important than the meat, and the body more than the clothes. And he talks about the birds of the air, and he talks about the lilies of the field, and he talks about the grass in the field. And he says this in verse 32, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And as I started this Bible study, 4 o'clock in the morning, January the 1st, I went from there to look into Jesus' words and Jesus' warnings. And soon I was studying a word called Gehenna in the Greek. Gehenna is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. Jesus mentions that word 11 times. And Gehenna is a word for hell, translated in the English hell in the New Testament. And it was impressed upon me that in the churches throughout the world, so often these days, you'll hear about things like faith, which I love talking about faith. You'll hear so much about grace. I love talking about the grace of God and how wonderful this rich grace is. But you just don't hear very much about hell. And I've even heard many preachers who I like and I enjoy listening to, but they avoid the subject of hell, and they have a connotation. In fact, if anyone mentions hell, they say, oh, we're meant to preach the good news, not the bad news. You know, we're meant to stick on the good news. We just stick on the good news. But my friends, with my conscience, as honest as I can be before God, and I care more about what God thinks of me than what you think of me, I can't ignore the subject of hell and Gehenna. And what the Lord revealed to me was this: the churches would be much fuller and they'd have much more quality of people and their convictions and their commitment to Jesus Christ if people had been more faithful to the teachings of Jesus and the New Testament, and if they had included more preaching on the subject of hell in their sermons. But because it's been avoided like the plague, don't talk on that. Let's just keep the people happy. Get them in quick. Give them a nice little word of encouragement. And then off you go. God bless. See you in the week. But that's not what Jesus is saying to us sometimes in the New Testament. Yes, full of encouragement. Yes, let's be encouraging. Let's be positive. Let's look at people with an encouraging way. Let's remember the wise men. They were wise. They didn't know God in the same way that Israel knew God. But the Bible calls them wise. They came to Jesus. They were searching. They saw, they were gazing at the stars and they were searching. They had a wisdom and the Bible recognized it. Let's be positive towards all people. But in being positive towards people, let's never lose the message, the reality of the message that Jesus gives us. Because if I'm truly following Jesus, if I'm really a follower of Jesus, I don't have my own message. I haven't got a message of my own. It's not my gospel. It's not my thinking, not my message. It's Jesus' message. It's Jesus' truth. It's his words that we should preach. I'm his preacher. I'm his ambassador. I'm not preaching my own message. I've got nothing of interest for anyone in this place. But Jesus has got great things of interest and great things of eternal value. And hell is one of those messages, my friends. It's a lost message of the church. And people so easily dismiss it. I've heard them dismiss preachers. If a preacher preaches on hell, say, oh, he's a hell preacher. Oh, he preaches about hell. Oh, we don't want that. I want to hear something nice. Well, the Bible warns, doesn't it? Preaching for those with itching ears. Come on, preach to me something nice, something encouraging. Don't tell me bad things. Just tell me nice things. My friends, listen. I'm convinced that an understanding of Gehenna, which Jesus Christ, the one that we follow, taught on many times, Jesus spoke on hell more than he spoke on heaven. That's the truth. I remember, when I was training in the Methodist Church, I was in London in the Methodist Church, and I was training, and I was in Wesley's Chapel, the church that John Wesley started. I was in the room that John Wesley preached in and would have his sermons. In fact, I used to go into his little bedroom in his house where he used to live. And his bedroom was a small little room. And he had a little fire at the bottom of his bed. And he'd go there in the morning and pray. And I had the privilege of, when I was a student, I'd go in there in the mornings and I'd go and pray, I think, oh, I'm close to where John Wesley was. It was a thrill for me. But I remember then when they had this meeting in the church and they were talking about the New Testament and what they should be preaching on and what it was a preacher's meeting for the circuit and the various circuits in London. And what we should be preaching. And I mentioned about this subject many years ago. This is probably 25 years ago. And I said, we should be preaching on hell and warning people. Everyone in the room almost denounced me. They all shouted me down. And they said, no, no, no. And I said, well, Jesus warned about this. Jesus teaches us on this. He spoke more about this subject than he did heaven. And they said, no, 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 no. We can't, who are we to talk on those things? Let's not talk on those things. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, is it just me? And if you're on your own and everyone is denouncing you, you lose confidence if you're not careful. So let me be open, I'll listen, I'll try and be humble and listen. But you know what? It's never left me. And 4 o'clock in the morning, this New Year's Day, I thought to myself, no. Lord, yes, okay. A deep, deep conviction. A deep conviction that I must be one of those people who warns people about the reality of this truth. That there is, after this world, according to Jesus, hell. It does exist. It's there. It's a warning in the scripture. And by the way, when I looked into it that morning, and I've got 7,500 words on notes on the subject, subsequent to that, what I found out was, it's not annihilation. Some people say, oh yeah, it's annihilation. You know, it's a, that's not what Jesus meant. When Jesus uses the word Gehenna, it doesn't mean annihilation. It means an ongoing, everlasting punishment, separation from God. Ongoing and ever, it's a terrible thing. As I was doing the Bible study on it, I started to feel, this is a dread. I started to feel like a dread. And I thought to myself, how dreadful it was that this isn't preached in any of the churches. None of the churches are preaching this, are they? They just don't preach on it. They don't talk on it. When's the last time you heard someone preach on this? But Jesus spoke on this repeatedly, warned the people. Why did Jesus do it? Because he loved the people. He wants the best for the people. And if we love people, we must give them the best. And if the best is the truth of Jesus' words, I mean, we said it last year, didn't we? Repeatedly, what does it mean to follow Jesus? If I'm a follower of Jesus, it means that I must pay. To understand what the word follow means, we looked at the antonym of follow. The antonym is the opposite of follow. And the opposite of follow is to disregard, neglect, or misunderstand Jesus' words. So if I disregard, neglect, or misunderstand Jesus' words, I'm not following Jesus. Woo! If I disregard, neglect, or misunderstand Jesus' words, I'm not following Jesus. Let's be clear on it. So if I'm following Jesus, I better understand what hell is, that there's a hell, and people will be going there for eternity. That's what my Lord taught. Ah, but that doesn't sit. I don't like hearing that. I don't want to hear that. I don't like it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. As followers of Jesus, we shouldn't give too much regard to our feelings. We should give our regard to what the Word of God says. And if we really follow Jesus, the man who was crucified on that cross, who was crucified, who was buried, and who rose again for our sake, and who then gives us the message, says, go and take this gospel around the world. And it's good news. And the good news is this, because of what Jesus has done, you and I are spared and we're rescued from a hellish future, or from a future in hell. Let me put it more exactly. We're rescued from a future in hell. That's the gospel good news. We're rescued from that potential of ending up with eternity in hell because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Hallelujah. That's why he came. For all mankind. And that's why our belief is so precious in him. And that's why we must be truly followers of Jesus. And if we're really following Jesus, we mustn't disregard his words. We mustn't misunderstand his words. And we mustn't neglect his words. My friends, it's so easy to neglect his words. It's so easy to leave this building this morning now, and this afternoon as we leave today, and then just get on with the week, forget those words. Thank you very much. The week's in front of me. I've got all this work to do, and I'm going to forget about the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth, my friends, that's neglecting the words of Jesus. We're not in a position to do that. That's not what it is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means that the words of Jesus Christ stick close to us every day of our lives, and we live by those words, and we're passionate for those words. And we are the measure of our lives. Our lives doesn't count as that much. The work I've got to do is secondary to this life that I have. And Christianity has become for people something that is in addition to their week. You know, I just, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I go twice a week. You know, it's twice a week. That's not the gospel that we have here. The gospel is that my life is to serve Jesus. Jesus Christ now is my very life. Everything else is irrelevant in comparison to Jesus Christ. He's the passion of my life. Everything else is secondary to him. Yes. Praise God. And so he becomes everything. But the religious mindset is, oh, well, it's an additional thing. You know, take it easy. Don't get too excited. Just take it easy. Relax. Just take it easy. You've got important things, other things to do. Now, what are you doing? Where are you going for your holidays? Now, let's get on with some important things. Now, what color is the bathroom going to be? I'm not saying we can't have holidays. I'm not saying we shouldn't choose colors. Of course we should. We can get on with those things. But the priority and the emphasis and the passion of our lives should be the Lord Jesus Christ and the message he's given us. And so often, it's not been so often, it's been this, it's an additional, in the religion of Christianity, Jesus' words just become an addition, something we tack on to our lives. They're not to be tacked on to our lives. They are the central feature of our very life. Our very life is his words. It's an amazing thing to me to look at this and see how wonderful, you know, what Jesus has done for us and the reality of this. Are you with me this morning, everyone? Oh, thank you, because he has so much for us. He's so much for us. But he wants us to get this. He wants us to understand this so clearly. So important that we do this. It really is. You know, I wrote a poem and I put it on Facebook yesterday. Has anyone read the poem? I saw some people read the poem. Who'd like to hear my poem? I don't write many poems. I'll read a poem out to you. Because it speaks of the emphasis. A year of betrayal by once so-called friends. Abuse from those to whom I had often lent a hand. Disappointments around so many of the bends. Still, I'm uplifted, encouraged, and totally unspent. The reason I'm sure is emphatic and true, plain to those of whom there are so few. Not to focus on self and how things have been, but to focus on Jesus and what his eyes can see. To live with the mind of Christ to the full, buoyant and strong is our calling for sure. Not for us the whining, weak, whingy ways, but a path straight and true, forever, always. Onwards, upwards, shining the light. For ourselves, our family, our friends, and the night. Shadows dispersing with the words of sweet faith. Tomorrow's shaping with the sentence we gave. Amen. Well, you're very generous. But the point is, you know, the heart is there to be aimed at fulfilling what Jesus has given us to do. And looking at this world with his eyes. Precious brothers and sisters, we take a break there, and I just say something else, but at the end, let's take a, a break, an interlude from this word. And I wonder if we have any testimonies this morning. Subject, I'm much happier preaching. I could preach to you all day on faith, on how God wants to bless us, on the grace of God, on so many wonderful things, on the cybernetics of faith, which is a book that I'm writing right now. It's a beautiful subject. It's a great topic. I mean, it's tremendous. I could preach to you all day on these points. I've got all the points laid out. I've got the chapters of the book I could go into. But God says, no, speak about this subject called hell. I say, I want to escape from that, telling people that. I want people to like me, Lord. I want them to be happy with me. I want them to go away rejoicing and being happy and ever so happy about everything and everyone nice and encouraging. He says, tell them this then. And then you'll be pleasing me. That's where I am this morning, everyone. Everyone's still happy? Give me a wave. Hey! Oh, glory to God. Yay! So, because of that, that strong sense that I've been having, I had this thought for some people that we haven't seen for a while. And I mean going back years now. And just before Christmas, I said to Micah, hey, what about this one? And what about this one? And I'm going to write to them. And I maybe they didn't leave on such good terms. God bless them. And maybe I could have done more. Maybe. Either way, I just wrote to them. I just said, listen, I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you and that I know that God loves you and that he's got plans for you. And I didn't share the hell message with them. This was before Christmas. But I just told them that I miss you and God loves you. And I wanted to tell you that. And God has a plan for you. And just share something lovely with those people, you know. Now that takes me back to the start of this last year, in January, when the Lord spoke to us that on March the 22nd, the church would change. Remember he gave us that word in January? Lo and behold, March the 22nd comes. And it is a day of change. First day in the history of Britain that the church has been closed by government dictate. In terms of meeting in a physical building, the government could never close the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the Lord told us ahead of time. And what he said was this. He said, everyone in your church then becoming more involved in the ministry. Tell everyone, be more involved in the ministry. So this is what I'm thinking as I'm looking at this and we're looking for this year and we're developing. I'm thinking to myself, listen, every one of us has people like that. People who are lost to the church. People who have been discouraged in church. Many people have been discouraged in churches. I mean, church should be the safest place to be. It should be a place of encouragement. Should be a place of focus on the Lord Jesus and encouraging one another. But instead, so often, it's become a place where people have niggles with one another and one's offended and the other's offended. And instead of being grown up and mature in the faith, they get offended and then they leave and you don't see them. And then, and it's just so much of that. But I'm so thankful that in this church now, people are saying, right, we're developing and we're going to be encouraging others. And each one here is anointed. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're anointed to be a witness, and to offer pastoral support. You may not be in the office of a pastor, but you can certainly offer pastoral support to those in your sphere of influence. Because you know some people, like I know some people, who no longer attend church. But Jesus, here's some other words from Jesus. Jesus leaves the 99 who are together in worship, as we are this morning, and says, let me go after that one. I remember when they used to come and we used to think, and I haven't seen them, and I wonder where they are, and I've written to them, but they've not responded, and I don't know why they haven't, I don't know what's happened, what's going on. Well, at least what we can do is go after them with a little phone call or perhaps a message on Facebook or, you know, whatever it might be, and invite them and say, look, I've been thinking of you. We miss you. You're loved. You're needed. Come back and have fellowship. Or let's go and have a coffee. Or let's just have a chat, or whatever it might be. And I think, you know, I've heard from so many people who've found this time very difficult. And there's a lot of lonely people. And they need us, who are here in the church, to maybe go the extra mile now for them. So I want to encourage everyone this morning. We're involved in the most serious of things. We are agents of his kingdom. We are a spiritual task force. And the task at hand is building the kingdom of God. And he calls us and equips us to do it. So why don't we now take time, make a phone call, write an email, whatever it might be. The Lord will direct us to do that. You know, there was a man who was a Sunday school teacher. And he was a Sunday school teacher way back, not last century, century before. Mr. Kimball. In America. And Mr. Kimball was taking a Sunday school class in a relatively small church, and it was up to a dozen or so children that they'd have there on a Sunday school, and he'd take the class in this Sunday school, and in those days, you know, the teacher would be at the front and they would dictate the class. Wasn't so interactive as it is today. And there was one student who hadn't been for a few weeks, and Mr. Kimball had noticed that the student hadn't been there and went to search out for the student. He went after the one. And he found out where they were, asked their family, and found out that on Sundays they were now working in a shoe shop. There was a shoe shop, and it was open on the Sunday, and they were working there, just even as a young boy, but working in this shoe shop. So one day in the week, because he also worked in the shoe shop in the week, and he went, took some time out to visit this boy in the week. And the boy was amazed to see a Sunday school teacher coming in, and he thought he was coming in for shoes. And he said, well, he said, I've not come in for shoes. He said, I've come in to see you. How are you? You know, we've been missing you. Well, that's all it took. And the boy came back to the Sunday school. And the boy grew and hardly missed the Sunday school lesson and became the greatest evangelist of his day. His name was Dwight L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody came to preach all over the world. And there was a famous British cricketer called C.T. Studd who was converted by the ministry of Dwight L. Moody. He was in Cambridge, part of the Cambridge Seven, Cambridge University. And C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice be too great for me to make for him." Those are the words of C.T. Studd. Well, if C.T. Studd, converted by Dwight L. Moody, and then that lovely Sunday school teacher went out and did his, you see how it works. So never think of yourself as too small. The devil wants you to think of yourself as small. You're not small. This is why the New Testament calls you certain things. And this is why the cybernetics of faith is so important. The cybernetics of faith takes care to teach us that we should have the right self-image of ourselves. And so much of the time we've had the wrong self-image. We viewed ourselves as small, insignificant, people who are ineffectual. And we've been sort of brainwashed sometimes into those types of perspectives. Sometimes, even from young children, this has happened. We become brainwashed. I can't do this. I can't think. Well, what we've discovered is, in cybernetics, it's clearly seen that as you think, so you become. Something that the scriptures have taught us. So if you think that you are able to do something, you are able to do that thing very often. I mean, you know, within obviously the parameters, I'm talking of the natural realm now. In the supernatural realm, Jesus says, "Believing, you shall receive." It's along the same lines. But it all starts, and that's a supernatural thing, even talking then about moving mountains. But it starts from that mindset. And so us having that mindset of saying, yes, all things are possible for me. Let me then yield my life, yield my mind, and be someone who can do those things for him. Have we got, what is this noise that's going? Is it from this? It's just popping up from there. I don't think it's this mic, is it? It's not the mic. Well, are there three people that you could think of, possibly, that you could get in touch with? I think as we close this service, this is a scattergun type of sermon this morning. I'll be more focused this evening as we go through a Bible study. But for this morning, I just wanted to share it like that. And that's, you know, the way that we've done it. What I want to do then now is this. Let's ask the Lord to minister to our minds and our hearts. As the service comes to a close, let's ask him to speak to us about people that perhaps we can encourage, we can contact, we can be in touch with. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father, we thank you then. And Lord, we ask in these precious moments of prayer now that you'd speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, please, about those people that you would want us to telephone or get in contact with through email or whatever it might be, but people that we should get in touch with. Yes. Yes. Everyone, I want to tell you this. You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. Don't let the devil tell you you're not. You're an ambassador of God. You're a minister of God. You're an ambassador and you're a minister of God. Don't let the devil ever tell you you're not. You're an ambassador and a minister of God. Now everyone say, I am an ambassador and a minister of God. I am an ambassador and a minister of God. Thank you, Father. So, Father God, help us then, Lord. Those people that we need to get in touch with, we ask that you bring them to our mind right now. And that we do that thing to communicate to them. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Every eye closed, no one looking around. Just put your hand up if you've had someone come to your mind. Good. Yeah, good, good. For those of you who haven't, let's continue to ask, because I can't believe that there wouldn't be someone the Lord would have you speak to. Father God, we ask, bring that person to our mind, Lord, at least one, maybe six, maybe more, but bring them to our minds, Lord, that we could just reach out with your words. Touch them at the start of this new year, that this would be a great blessing for their lives. Oh, I know it's difficult. Yes, it's not easy, this. It's not always easy, friends. It takes humility. You have to be humble, just humility and just no pride. Who are we? We're not the important ones. It's Jesus we're serving. It's not about us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And then some people will get, as we're even driving home in this afternoon, people will drift into your memory. And they're going to drift into your memory, and then you're going to be prompted. So that's okay. So thank you, Heavenly Father. Then we thank you for that, Lord. And we worship you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Notices before the final hymn or song.